You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome into the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. I am Alan Martindale, and joining me today we have Isaac Draxler from UStateAggies.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at AggieUp. He covers all things Aggies. Today we're talking a little Utah State football. We're going to recap the season and preview the bowl game and maybe dip into a little bit of next year's football team, what we can expect. So first of all, how you doing, man? Happy holidays.
Oh, thank you. I'm doing good.
First of all, you know, the first question I like to ask people when we're doing these interviews, can you grade the season from what you saw based on your expectations at the beginning of the year?
Well, I mean, probably most people know and most people had high expectations coming into this season. You know, everything with Chucky Heaton getting another year, expecting big things and everything from this year. And obviously in the middle of the year, high expectations as well, after a win against Boise State. So all of that said, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I've been watching the Aggies. I've been following the Aggies for a long time. And it's hard to think of a more disappointing season. And, you know, back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when I was going to school at Utah State, I would have died for a 6-6 season. I would have loved to go to Boise to a bowl game. You know, that would have been a great season for the Aggies. But now, especially, I would say that New Mexico loss is probably the most disappointing loss of the season. And I guess looking back, if the Aggies would have beat New Mexico, you know, maybe that would have changed things a little bit. But maybe it wouldn't have. So it's been a disappointing season. I guess the long answer is that. But the grade of this season, I don't know how to give anything but maybe like a C- for the season.
Yeah,
and that might be generous.
Well, you know, after. You knew things may be in trouble after that San Diego State loss. I mean, you can lose to San Diego State. They're a tough team. In fact, that was one of the two losses I think I had them getting this year. I didn't see it happening in that fashion. But, you know, coming off that Boise State, and then you lose to San Diego State. Was that a point when you're thinking maybe there could be some troubles here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for the team to not come out and play very well against San Diego State, I guess, like you say, is something that's, you know, conceivably could happen. You know, a big letdown. You know, it happens to teams. I wasn't expecting the Aggies necessarily to go undefeated after they beat Boise, but you know what? I guess the most disappointing, as far as from my perspective, the most disappointing part of the season and of that is you lose to San Diego State and then you come back and you don't seem like, you know, you're gonna you know, get mad about it and go on a tear and just bury every team that you play after that. I think if they, and I don't know how to explain that. I don't know. You know, there's a few things, few theories that I've heard and I could imagine, you know, just kind of using reverse logic. You can say, well, you know, when a team goes on the road and they get a big road win, what does the coach always say? They say, oh, we just have great leadership on this team. You know, we're tough, you know, we're a resilient team, and they give all those answers. Well, if the team doesn't, then maybe that means they're not tough. Maybe that means they don't have the player leadership they should. So just based on that, I mean, that's kind of disappointing that would, you know, they'd go into a New Mexico game and really just literally and figuratively just hand the ball, you know, hand the win to New Mexico, you know, after having that, you know, the opportunity to win out and win the division.
Did you see any after the New Mexico loss? Did you see any fire in in behind the players or coaching staff or anything like that? I mean, I know you said after the San Diego State game, they didn't look like they were angry. Did you see any of that after the loss to New Mexico?
Well, I mean, I would like to say it definitely has been a Jekyll and Hyde team, you know, up and down. I think at home I've seen some of that, and I've seen, you know, obviously the Nevada win was a come-from-behind win, you know, that they didn't give up, and against Air Force they didn't give up when they were down, and they had a tough first half, and obviously they could have given up. So they didn't give up, which is good. That's obviously one quality characteristic, but they maybe didn't come out, you know, in those games against New Mexico and against Nevada and against Air Force. They didn't come out with that fire. They didn't come out with that, you know, will to win. And I think, I mean, I'm just using this as an example, but after the win, Coach Wells and they kind of all said the right things. They said, you know, we're going to stay medium. We're going to not get too high, you know, after this win. Well, I mean, football is a game of emotion too. You got to get fired up. You got to have some leadership, and it kind of hurt. One thing that hurt after that Boise game is David Mawala got injured. You know, he's kind of the vocal leader of that defense, and just a beast in the middle. You know, really important position against the run. Obviously, we saw that against San Diego State. And then, you know, not having Chucky Heaton on the field made more of a difference than maybe some people thought as well, not having his leadership. So those are kind of the assumptions, I guess, is what I would say, or what I saw, you know, kind of maybe a little bit of an explanation.
You know, you talk about Chucky Heaton. When he went out and Kent Myers was taking his place, what was your first reaction when you heard that Kent Myers was going to get the start and Chucky Heaton was out for a very long time?
Well, I was excited about Kent Myers. I covered, obviously, I follow recruiting really closely. I've always really liked Kent Myers. I've had confidence in Kent Myers. I've known he can step in and be successful. He is going to be a good player, and he's been pretty darn successful for his first 2 years in the program. And so because Chucky Heaton had kind of declined a little bit, and obviously had an injury, you know, a legit injury that he had to sit out for, I was excited for Kent Myers. I was excited to get somebody else in there, kind of like, I don't know if I can compare it to the Broncos or somebody, but you know what, give somebody else a chance and let Chucky get better or you know, see what we can do with somebody else, because the offense, you know, I know Kent Myers can run the ball. I know he can, you know, run the offense. So I was excited about it.
And then how about later on when Chucky came back and then Myers got hurt? What were your thoughts at that point?
Yeah, at that point it was pretty crazy to see Chucky come back, and I think Chucky has looked better than he did against Washington and Utah. You know, since then I think he's just a tough guy. I mean, he's a guy that's gonna, you know, he's been around for so long that he knows what he's doing with the offense and everything. So it's good to see him. You know, he's got the record for most touchdown passes. So it's been great. I mean, it's been great to watch Chucky play. He's not necessarily himself or the old Chucky to a certain degree, but he's played pretty well. I mean, he's ran the ball pretty well. Even, you know, obviously against BYU, he had some great runs. He had some great plays. And you know, it's just unfortunate that you know, he's kind of going out on a downswing. So,
yeah, he means a lot to that program, and he's kind of been, other than Gary Anderson and Matt Wells, I think he's been kind of the face of the resurgence of of the Aggie program. So, you know, it's good that he got that record, even though it was a tough loss against BYU. I was really happy to see that because he really means a lot. Maybe you can talk a little bit, you know, as you cover the team and you're talking to fans and players and coaches and all that. What does Chucky Keaton mean to the program?
Well, he is one of those pillars of the program, and it's hard to say one person's most important. I mean, even I think it was a while ago that Aggie fans kind of had the debate that, you know, who's the most important part of the resurgence of the football team. And, you know, some people, you might say it's Gary Anderson, and some people might say it's Chucky Keaton, and some might say it's Scott Barnes, and some might say it's President Albrecht, because he really started the whole process and hired a better athletic director, and he approved, and he, you know, he helped make the things happen that brought Gary Anderson in. So it's hard to say, but I mean, in the top five most important people in Utah State football, I would say it's hard to keep Chucky Keaton out of that list for sure.
Definitely. You know, it's too bad that he had to end on kind of a downer. You know, 6-6 is definitely not what we all expected. Is there any nervousness or apprehension, but, you know, with the players and the coaching staff and all that, that this might be a detriment to the progress this program's made, having a 6-6 season?
I would say, you know, obviously there's two ways you can go, you know, when you finish the season 500 and it's a disappointing year. Well, you can either leave or you can kind of, you know, get same thing with that happened when you lose a game. You can either come back and you can just, you know, get mad and set your mind to getting those recruits and getting the, you know, the bowl win and kind of, you know, ending on a, making something good out of what's going on. So I don't know. I mean, I would probably just be, you know, giving my opinion, but as far as how they're going to react, but I think I'm going to be able to tell, based on what happens, and it'll really be interesting too. I think one of the things that I'm most interested to kind of see is, you know, is the coaching staff mostly the coaching staff, are they going to take a long-term approach? You know, are they going to hire, you know, somebody, you know, are they going to hire somebody for the offensive coordinator position that might only be around for a year or two? Are they going to bring in all, you know, a bunch of JC recruits to try to put a Band-Aid on the problem? Are they going to build for the long term? So I might take a little bit of flack for saying it, but it'll be interesting to see what happens because, you know, we'll see what happens. And by all means, I think next year can be a good year again, but it's college football. You lose guys, you know, you lose Tyler Fackrell, who's going to get picked in the NFL draft. You're losing Mawala, who was the MVP of your defense, really. And so you've got to replace those guys, and you've got to obviously do something different, get some, you know, find a way to win more games next year. That's the bottom line.
I'm glad you brought up Josh Heupel. He's headed to Missouri, so that offensive coordinator position is open. How much are the Aggies losing with him going? I mean, he kept it pretty consistent from last year, from what I could tell. I know you kind of broke this news on UStateAggies.com that he was leaving. So what are they losing with Heupel taking that job?
They're losing a guy that I like a lot more than maybe Oklahoma fans or some Aggie fans, because they look at the results on the field. They look at the win-loss record and the stats and different things, which, by the way, you know, a lot of stats say that the Aggie offense was better this year. But like you say, it wasn't a big change. It wasn't a big difference. And I would say, you know, all the things that he did well and that I like personally about Coach Heupel, I guess let me start there. I really like how he coaches the quarterbacks. I think he's a coach that's really experienced. He's played. He knows how to get things done, and he knows how to coach. He's really detail-oriented, and I think we'll be a head coach in college football sooner rather than later. So I would love to keep him. I would love it if he, you know, stayed around for a few years and helped build build the program and coach these, you know, these quarterbacks. But the bad, I guess, let me just throw this out there, is, you know, the red zone offense. Obviously, you can't 100% blame a coach for fumbles and interceptions and different things like that. But I would say, in general, there was some disappointing play calls, some disappointing possessions in the red zone. And then I mentioned it earlier, but, you know, to start games, I think, you know, I think back to kind of my, you know, early years of success with Utah State was with offensive coordinator Jim Zorn. So and I remember his teams coming out and, you know, they'd take the ball, they wanted the ball first, and they'd go down and score right away. So, you know, obviously he had done some great game planning. He had put together that game plan, put together those plays to start the game, and, you know, it worked. So that's kind of frustrating, you know, to have a team come out, get the ball, and not have a successful first drive. So a couple things like that, I would say, were kind of, you know, frustrations. Obviously, he's not perfect. I don't think any of these coaches are. I don't think, you know, Nick Saban's not even perfect or anything. So obviously you just have to hire the best guy possible and hopefully, you know, he's a good recruiter and he brings something to the table. That's all you can ask for, which I think Heupel did a good job in a short time here. So
any buzz going around on who might be the next hire for the offensive coaching or offensive coordinator position?
Not yet. I mean, it is a little bit early, and I honestly, in all seriousness, I thought it was more of a old story, or I thought a lot of people knew that he was going to Missouri. But anyway, he him going to Missouri brings up that point that I made earlier, is are they going to go with somebody, you know, that comes in, maybe they can afford them for a year, maybe it's a short-term fix, maybe it's a guy that that really, you know, basically is just calling Matt Wells' plays for him, maybe he promotes somebody. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and I don't think there's necessarily, you know, one better way to do it. I mean, obviously, I think all Aggie fans would like to see, you know, great offense, a great guy come in and get that position. If they promote from within, it's an unknown. But at the same time, we mentioned it before, it's probably not going to change a whole lot with Matt Wells as the head coach and involved to a certain extent.
Well, let's...
let me just finish with this. I mean, they just went through, they interviewed guys, they went through this process a year ago. And so, I mean, that will obviously help in this search to go back and kind of go through some of the same candidates maybe and just kind of see what's available out there. And I think they'll they'll try to bring in the best guy they can.
Do you think that whoever it is, that the offense will stay fairly consistent to what we've seen the last few years?
I think so. I would like to see maybe a little bit more toughness, a little bit more physical offense. I think you kind of got to choose what you're going to be. Are you going to be a spread team, or you know what weapons do you have? Are you gonna throw the ball? Are you gonna run the ball? So hopefully, and like I say, if they bring, no matter who they bring in, and it's the same. Well, I mean that's what they're gonna do. That's their identity, and they're gonna kind of do what they've been doing the last couple of years. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Well, there is one more game left in the season. And the Aggies are headed back, 6-6, disappointing, but you do get to a bowl game, back to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl playing Akron. Have you started scouting? And I did not know that Akron, their mascot, they're called the Zips. I had no idea. I had never even heard that before. Have you had a chance to start scouting the Zips yet?
Well, what's funny is I think everybody thought the Toledo Rockets were funny.
Right, right.
And now we play the Zips.
The Zips.
That rocket dance around was kind of weird, but now we play the Zips from Akron. So I don't know, the most famous thing from Akron is LeBron James, I guess, but they are kind of that. Kind of a spread offense, but they are kind of the more physical, more grinding team that I would. It's hard to explain their offense, but they're pretty physical. They've got a pretty good receiver that's kind of a big receiver, which obviously worries Aggie fans after watching BYU. And then they run the ball quite a bit. They have a pretty solid defense, so I think both defenses are good. So I'm not expecting a super high scoring game, but I'm expecting that the Aggies will be able to get some shots over the top with Hunter Sharp and I assume Chucky Keaton throwing him the ball, but. But regardless, somebody throwing them the ball, and that should be the difference. They should be able to run the ball a little bit as well to kind of set that up. So that's what I'm expecting. But I would say if the Aggies come out and aren't ready to play, I think the Akron's by definitely good enough to jump on them and get a lead, and they may be better than say like a Nevada that let the Aggies come back and win. So I would be worried, just watching them as much as I've watched them, which is less than the coaches, obviously. I'm a little bit worried that the Aggies don't come out and be aggressive and they come out firing right away. So.
Well, hopefully they can, the Aggies can send out Chucky on a high note, because God knows that kid deserves it. He has put everything into this program. He definitely deserves it. Real quick, and then we'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your day. How about a prediction? Do you have a prediction for the bowl game?
Oh, prediction for the bowl game, I would say 21-13 is my prediction. And...
with the Aggies winning?
Aggies.
Very nice.
The Aggies winning. So I think I think the Aggies should come out with enough fire, with enough will to win to pull it out against Akron.
Can't sleep on them, though, that's for sure.
You can't.
All right, Isaac Draxler from ustateaggies.com. You do a phenomenal job over there. Every Aggie fan out there, if you have not familiarize yourself with that website, which I'm sure you have. But if you have not, do yourself a favor. Go over there, ustateaggies.com. It is phenomenal, great resource. You guys do great work. You're also at Aggie Up on Twitter. Give them a follow, great follow. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. I appreciate it.
I am Alan Martindale, and for the boss man, Grant Bagby, we thank you for listening to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. As always, you can head over to TornbySports.com and check out all the interviews we do. We do it multiple times a week. Great insight, as you just heard, for the Aggies, the Cougars, the Utes, and the Jazz. So check us out, TornbySports.com. We'll talk to you next time.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.